This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. From our Wealth and Poverty team now, a story about economic mobility, about how where you come from can decide how far you go. 50 years ago, maybe a little bit more, some of the biggest cities in America started experimenting with public housing, government-built, affordable places to live for the urban poor. Places like Pruitt-Igoe in St. Louis, Techwood Homes in Atlanta, and the Robert Taylor Homes in Chicago. The experiment didn't go well. Violence and drugs and spiraling poverty became the hallmarks of public housing in this country. And the poor who lived there, with very few exceptions, stayed poor. Marketplace's Sylvester Monroe has his own story.
When the Robert Taylor Homes opened in 1962, Chicago Mayor Richard Daley channeled the high hopes of a new urban generation.
This project represents the future of a great city. It represents vision.
I was 11 when my mother moved us out of a rat-infested flat and into the Robert Taylor Homes. It was a big step up. New appliances, heat, and well-kept gardens. But without tending, good intentions rot. Now it's sort of fresh, and we're standing in this field, and you smell fresh-cut grass, actually. But what you used to smell is meatpacking houses, this awful wet blanket smell of dead animals. And in the summertime, that was oppressive.
Where's the interest to this place?
But across the street today, it's a family reunion, a picnic for people who grew up in the first building of the Robert Taylor Homes.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Hey, Tommy.
Glad you came out, man.
My old friends like to make a fuss when I come back. I got out. I moved up. There's a certain neighborhood pride that comes with that.
That's family there.
Tommy Hamilton was still a kid when I left.
To see three and four generations of families down here, it brings joy to my heart.
It's not uncommon for three or four generations to grow up in the same housing project. But with a boost from affirmative action, I graduated from a mostly white New England prep school. My ticket to Harvard, a career, economic mobility. Most black men born into poverty stay there. Some manage to climb up a step to working poor. But people like me, still the exception, even after the city bulldozed the projects.
When they tore down these buildings, and the ones that got displaced say they probably took the project mentality with them into the other neighborhoods.
My oldest friend, Steve Stewart, knows a thing or two about project mentality. He got a scholarship to prep school just like me. But the pull of the projects can be strong. Steve dropped out of Northwestern University halfway through his junior year. Now he moves from one hood to the next, gentrification hot on his heels. He likens the movement of project people to the reservation system and Native Americans.
The Indians were here at this place, and now they have to be replaced because you need their place. When you take away someone's residence and say, well, now you have to go here, you hope it's for the better, but they got the worst situations.
Steve had a chance, and he blew it. But he says no one should really be surprised.
You follow your people's footsteps. If your daddy's a lawyer, you might want to become a lawyer because you see all the law books. If he's a doctor, you might want to do that because, hey, doc comes in and lets you know this is a nice profession. This is what you want to have. But if you're poor, you're used to poverty.
His new home is in a hood called Terrortown on the far south side. Yeah, that's T-E-R-R-O-R. And despite the name, some of the neighbors are pretty friendly.
So if I look out this window, will I be amazed at what I see going past me every day?
Yeah, it erupts.
How often do you hear gunshots?
I heard gunshots yesterday.
Charles Ross goes by Slim. He's in his 30s now. And turns out, he spent his childhood in the same projects as me and Steve. But Slim says that's no reason to just give up.
I stay in this neighborhood, but Chicago is a big city, and there's opportunity all over.
Opportunity for Slim means taking the bus out of his neighborhood, 4 hours round trip sometimes, to work in a fast food place.
I don't stay in the city and say nothing for me because all the jobs are gone and that's it. If you go out and get it, it's there for you. But if you say, I'm stuck here with nothing, then that's what you're going to get.
People from the projects can tell you what nothing means, but when it comes to defining something, they get hung up.
There's a way in which, when you are born and raised in public housing, that you were denied the opportunity to realize certain aspects of life and life experience. many of those things having to do with upward mobility of future possibilities.
Alfred Young teaches urban economic mobility at the University of Michigan. He says for young people in the projects, getting ahead is an abstract idea.
The only vision of someone who's come from their neighborhoods or neighborhoods like theirs and that has achieved success have been athletes or entertainers.
Wentworth Gardens is one of the few projects left standing in Chicago. A group of teenagers and young men are drinking beer and chilling on the curb. We asked them what they wanted to do with their lives, what they wanted to be.
I don't know.
I'm working on it. I don't really know right now.
I go to school.
Hoping for the best.
But I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
And that's the hurdle. For guys who grow up like me, like Slim, and like the young men in Wentworth Gardens, it's the ability to see that beyond the long odds of life in the hood, there's a world of possibility. In Chicago, I'm Sylvester Monroe for Marketplace.